go ahead and get started here. I think I got plenty of material, so we better start or I won't get too far. All right. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into this morning. Father, thank you so very much for the day that you've given to us. Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we're so thankful that we can come to the throne of grace, find help, grace, mercy in a time of need. Father, we love you. Thank you for giving us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And Father, we ask for your help today. Help us as we listen to your word. And may your word be an encouragement and a help to us. Thank you for Pastor, and pray for him in the next service as he preaches. And Father, we pray for this Sunday school lesson that will be a help and encouragement to us as well. And Father, may we honor and glorify you with everything that we say, everything we do. And may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the title this morning is The Trouble of Worry. I thought this would be a good subject to cover. How many of you ever worry? That's a dumb question, isn't it? I think we all do, and in fact, if we said we didn't, we'd be lying, wouldn't we? And we worry about everything and anything, don't we? And some worry about some things, and some others worry about other things, but we all are prone to this, and God tells us that we're to be careful for nothing, not one thing. We shouldn't worry about anything, but we do, and we're commanded not to, but instead we're supposed to pray, and as we're praying, we're also to give thanks, and that's a good thing, isn't it? The Bible tells us a lot to be thankful, and so let's remember the things that we are thankful for and give the Lord thanks, and I'm thankful I'm here today. How about you? And thankful I'm alive. But I'm very, very thankful that I am a child of God. Now, I don't deserve that. None of us do, but I am a child of God. And this is not my home. I'm just passing through. My home is in heaven. And I have to be careful that I live for heaven and not for this world, because this isn't our home. And so, I'm thankful that God is in control of everything. And I literally have nothing to worry about. And as we'll find out today, when we do worry, it doesn't help anything anyway. And so, why worry? It's not going to help you. In fact, that's why I titled this, The Trouble of Worry. All worry does is it troubles you. I also want to remind us this morning that living for Christ as a child of God doesn't guarantee us the absence of trials and difficulties. We're all going to have some trials and difficulties. In fact, trials and difficulties are actually for our spiritual growth. We find in James chapter 1, probably familiar to most of you, but in verse 2 it says, "My brethren," so he's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." The word divers there means various trials. What are we supposed to do when we get into trials and tribulations and so forth? We're to count it all joy. Wow, that's difficult to do, isn't it? Here's why. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh. See, the trying of our faith helps us. It works for us. It worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Okay? So, trials are for our benefit. You can write this reference down and look it up later because I won't have time to cover it. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 5. 3 through 5. Romans 5, 3 through 5. This is what 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I don't know about you, but I don't like to be persecuted. And But if we live righteously, if we live right and do right, the Bible teaches us that we will suffer persecution. Now, there could be different levels of persecution. Maybe some of you read the story of, was it Richard Rambaud, or I'm not pronouncing that right, but suffered persecution at the hands of the communists, and was imprisoned, and nearly starved to death. In fact, they gave him just enough food just to sustain his life. And I still remember, I think it was him, it might have been another story, but reading, they were thankful when they got their daily ration of soup. They were thankful if they found one bean in that soup, because basically it was just broth. And so think about that. Now, I don't know if we'll ever suffer persecution like that, but maybe we suffer persecution when we have a former friend who no longer wants to associate with us because now we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's kind of a sense of persecution. And so just remember that. So let us remember this world's not our home. Heaven is our home, and one day we're going to rule and reign with the Lord. It says in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Won't that be something? Or reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this in Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, we need to learn to rest in the Lord. He's in control. Let's rest in him. And one day we'll have eternal rest when we're in heaven. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Didn't say there wouldn't be a burden, did it? Said the burden is light, because he's going to help bear the burden. But we need to yoke up with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and do what's right and live one day at a time. And by the way, the Bible teaches us tomorrow will take care for the things of itself. We're to live for the day. And we're not to be worrying. In fact, we find in Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing. The idea there means anxiety, care, that kind of care which divides or distracts the mind and which draws a troubled person's mind in different directions. Boy, when you're worried and you're all bent out of shape, we say sometimes, we kind of phrase it that way, don't we? Our minds are twisted, you know, we're a mess. We can be a mess when we get all worried about things. And this is the wrong kind of care. Sometimes the word is used in a healthy and helpful concern or care. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 25, it says there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So here the word care has the idea of a positive thing. We ought to care for one another. We ought to think about each other. In fact, the Bible tells us not to look on our own things, but also on the things of others. Philippians 2:20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so that's the right kind of care. We ought to care for one another, but we shouldn't have the care where we're all bent out of shape and all worried about things. The word care also use an unhealthy and harmful concern or care, and which we'll call worry today. Okay, that's the worry. That's what we think about when we're got all this anxiety, so forth in our lives, and can really trouble us. So we can and often do worry about it. Anything and everything. Boy, we could get some examples of that, couldn't we? I'm going to be careful because I don't want to pick on anybody. Nobody here in church, but maybe somebody in part of my family. But a lot of what ifs. I remember, now I'll pass over that. I don't want to go there. But anyway, we worry about everything sometimes, or anything. And the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Did you hear that? Don't think about tomorrow. Now, what he's not saying is we shouldn't plan for tomorrow. Sure we should. It's not that. It's, in other words, don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. By the way, do we know what's going to happen at 12 o'clock today? Say, yeah, I'll probably be eating lunch. Well, probably, but we don't know that for sure, do we? None of us knows. We don't know the future. But God does, and we need to just trust Him for the future. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How about Luke 10:41? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, this is the wrong kind of careful, and troubled about many things. You know, but what was Mary doing? Was she careful about many things? No, she was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, listening to Him. Listen, we need to be still sometimes and just relax. You know, we can sit at the feet of Jesus when we open up our Bibles and read. And, you know, read slowly and carefully. And ask God to increase your faith as you read. Ask God and the Holy Spirit to illuminate your mind and your eyes to things. And listen, when I read the Bible, I read some things that maybe could be scary, but I read a lot of things that really, really, really encourage me. By the way, in Romans it says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through hope and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I misquoted that a little bit. But we through comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. But the Scriptures will comfort us. And so we need to be in the Bible. All right, four things today. And I'll try to go through them quickly. I'll give them to you. Worry is disobedience. Worry is unbelief. Worry can lead to physical problems. And worry solves nothing. So let's look at worry as disobedience. In Philippians 4:6, the Lord says, be careful, that is, full of cares and anxieties for nothing. Which means worry about nothing, or do not worry about one thing. Stop worrying about everything. Therefore, whenever we worry about anything, we are disobeying God's command here in Philippians 4:6. And God sees this as sinful disobedience. So, 1 Peter 5:7 tells us this, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What kind of care is that? That's that anxiety. That's that worry. We live in a day, in a time right now, where we're going to see our country change leadership. And if we're not careful, we'll worry about that, won't we? Are we supposed to? God says, no. Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. We don't have to worry. God's still on the throne. All we need to do is follow God's word and obey God's word, do right. And listen, the Old Testament can sometimes be a little hard to understand some things, but there's some things in there that are very easy to understand. Remember, everything that was written aforetime, by the way, that was found in the New Testament, so I believe it's talking about the Old Testament, basically, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we read stories like the three Hebrew children that were cast into the fiery furnace. They were, the political climate in their day was, they needed to bow to the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now, they wanted to honor God, so what did they do? They didn't bow, did they? Then they were threatened, and they still didn't bow. And they said, our God's able to take care of us. Do you think, now they were threatened to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Do you think they thought, well, when we go in the fiery furnace, we're going to walk around in there and the fire's not going to hurt us. We're not going to have any hair on our bodies even singed. We'll come out and we won't even smell like smoke. Do you think they thought that prior to going in there? I don't think so. I don't think they thought that at all. I think they thought they're going to go into fire and they're going to perish. And they're going to go to heaven. They're going to go be with God. But remember, God wrote these things for our comfort. What happened? They went into fire, and the Lord Jesus Christ went with them. And they came out of there. They didn't smell like smoke. They didn't have one hair singed. By the way, have you ever singed any hair? I've done that several times. It doesn't take much. I believe God wrote that in His Word for you and for me. God can do anything. And when we disobey Him by worrying, it doesn't help us. It troubles us. It's going to work us all up in knots, and it's not good. So let's go to the next idea here. Worry is unbelief. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Worry is unbelief. When we worry, we're basically saying, I can't trust God, or I don't see God's bringing me through this. We're doubting God. Well, let me remind you, we're all prone to this. And when we tend to worry, we need to be reminded that I need to trust God. We need to do things that will help us. We can confess it as sin. Lord, help me not to worry. Help me to trust You. In fact, we read in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Listen, we don't understand. God didn't. But do you understand everything in the Bible? Of course you don't. Not everything. I don't understand how man can have free will and God can be sovereign. If you understand that fully, I want you to explain it to me. Romans chapter 11 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Listen, you won't understand God completely, because we have a finite mind, and God is infinite. But God says, listen, just trust Me. Don't lean unto your own understanding. Trust Me, and I will bring it to pass. So, worry is unbelief. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? God takes care of His birds. He feeds them. He takes care of we didn't get that far yet. Are you not much better? Which of you, verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubic unto His stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, underline this phrase, O ye of little faith. Is unbelief. We need to trust God. God's going to take care of us, and we aren't to worry. It says, therefore take no, verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Okay, so we're not to worry. Look what verse 33 says. Here's what we ought to do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay? So, we aren't to worry. We aren't to worry about anything. I don't need to worry about what I'm going to eat. I was driving by someplace, I've seen it a couple times. Somebody out in the country is going up the hill, they have a sign, you're now entering Venezuela. What are they saying? We're becoming a communist, socialistic country. And maybe we are. But do we have to worry? Do we have to worry about what we're going to eat? Do we have to worry about what we're going to drink? Do we have to worry about what we're going to be clothed with? No. God says, take no thought about those things. He'll take care of us. Worry is unbelief. The person who is troubled with worries is really saying, I do not believe or lacks faith that God loves them and cares for them and is able to take care of their problems. By the way, are there any problems with God? Is there anything too big or too hard for God to take care of? Answer is no. And so don't worry. Don't be unbelieving. It's amazing. Again, we have these things written for our learning. Even the disciples worried about things. And Jesus often rebuked them. How is it you have no faith? When you worry, you're basically saying, I don't have faith in God. I don't have faith that God's going to take care of my situation. God will take care of you. Worry and trust cannot coexist. As long as faith abides, worry can never enter. When worry creeps in, faith dwindles. When we worry, we're saying God's not big enough, wise enough, or powerful enough to take care of my problem. So let's not worry. Let's not be unbelieving. Let's trust the Lord. And not worry about what may happen. And by the way, did you get that? What may happen? You know, a lot of our worry is based upon what if. What if this happens? So it does. God's still in control and he'll take care of us. Turn to Mark chapter 4 and verse 37, if you would, please. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. I better hurry on here. All right, Mark 4:37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he, speaking of Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Interesting. Jesus wasn't worried, was he? He was asleep. Did he know it was storming? Of course he did. He's God. He knows all things. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, can you imagine? Carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. Get this. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Just picture that for a minute. Use your imagination. Can you imagine being on a boat? I mean, the wind is blowing. It's a terrible storm. The waves are heaving and back and forth, and these men who were experienced fishermen in a boat thinking they're surely going to perish. Jesus gets up after they wake him up. He says, Peace be still, and just like that, perfect calmness. What do you think he would have felt like after that? Can you imagine? Listen to what he says. Verse 40, and he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? Can you hear Jesus saying that to you today? Why are you so fearful? What do you have to fear? Fear God. Don't. In other words, have a respect of God, a holy respect of Him. Don't fear what man can do unto us. Man can't do anything to us but destroy this body. And that's all it is. It's just a body. They can't take our life. We have a spirit. It's going to live forever. And so I trust that if you're here today, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Because one day, you, not this body, will spend an eternity in heaven or hell. We don't have to fear. Well, we ought to fear, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to fear where you're going to spend eternity. But I don't need to fear because I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Listen, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And to be honest with you, I'm really looking forward to that. You've got an eternal home in heaven. And so He says, why are you so fearful? Fearful today? I believe God and His Word would say, why are you so fearful? Listen to what He says. How is it that you have no faith? So what is worry? It's unbelief. You have no faith if you're worried. Listen, so let's turn our worry into faith. Let's have faith in God. Listen, Jesus, who was the Son of God, showed us these things, a great storm. By the way, we could think of the storms in our life, whatever they might be, a financial storm, marital storm, whatever it might be. Listen, don't be fearful. Trust in the Lord. Have faith in Him. Live for Him. Do right. God will see you through it. Verse 41 says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Listen, everything obeys Him. I understand there's unsaved people. They don't obey Him. But listen, God still got control of them. We find in Psalm chapter 2 that He even controls the heart of the king. Listen, He can turn the heart of a king. He can turn the heart of anybody. God is in control. Now, let's go to the third thing real quickly, as I might not get all through all that. Worry can lead to physical problems. This is one of the problems. Remember I said the trouble of worry? Worry is going to trouble you. Many physical problems often result from needless worry and anxiety. Not only worry is spiritually unhealthy, but it's also physically unhealthy. Worry can never help us, but it most certainly can harm us. I looked up some things on the internet about stress. By the way, what is stress? Stress can be many things, but I believe worry brings on stress. When you're worried, you're stressed. Stress can affect all aspects of life, including your emotions, your behaviors, your thinking ability, and physical health. No part of the body is immune, but because people handle stress differently, symptoms of stress can vary. Symptoms can be vague and may be the same as those caused by medical conditions, so it's important to discuss any physical problems with your doctor. Stress is defined as an organism's total response to environmental demands or pressures. The causes of stress can include any event or occurrence that a person considers a threat to his or her coping strategies or resources. So when we worry, it puts us under tremendous stress. We're not to worry. God tells us not to worry. He tells us that it's disobedience to worry. He tells us that it's a lack of faith when we worry. And so stress can result, and worry can result in many things. Stress can also be trying to do too much. And so, you know, the number of things, but I want you to think mainly of what worry can do to you. Listen, becoming emotional symptoms becomes easily agitated, frustrated, and moody. Have you ever been there? My wife knows when I'm stressed or worried because I become moody. And she knows it right away. And maybe your spouse can see it right away too. You say, Pastor Terry, you worry sometimes. But I try to turn that over to the Lord right away and not worry and have faith in God. Feeling overwhelmed, like you're losing control or need to take control. Having difficulty relaxing and quieting your mind. Have you ever had trouble sleeping at night because you had something on your mind? How many of you have had that happen? You know what I tell myself? Don't think. By the way, I read a thing, if you want to fall asleep fast, they teach the military how to fall asleep fast. One of the things is you just got to turn the thinking off. I don't know, you can look it up. I forget all the things, but you lay a certain way and you just try not to think. And by the way, that works. Stop thinking about it. You know, I still remember the one time when my mother passed away, and I knew the funeral was the next day. I didn't sleep hardly at all that night. And it wasn't because what I was concerned about is what I was going to say the next day. And, you know, even the Bible says we don't even need to take much thought about that. God will give you the words to say. Well, we need to study, of course, and things. But having difficulty relaxing and quieting your mind. People, you know, what do? To handle the anxious thoughts. Take a pill. Does God want you to have to do that? Does God want you to have to take a pill to calm yourself? No, he wants you to trust him. What does the world do? Take a pill. Drink some alcohol. You know, go eat some chocolate. It's not the right thing to do. Feeling bad about yourself, low esteem, lonely, worthless, and depressed, and even avoiding others. Physical symptoms of stress include low energy, headaches, upset stomach, aches and pains, intense muscles, chest pain and rapid heartbeat, insomnia, can't fall asleep, frequent colds and infections, nervousness and shaking, ringing in the ear, cold and sweaty hands and feet, dry mouth and difficulty sweating. This is all physical symptoms of worry and stress on a person's life. Cognitive symptoms of stress, constant worry and racing thoughts, forgetfulness, disorganization, inability to focus, poor judgment, being pessimistic and seeing only the negative side. I honestly, if you're negative, I'll try to help you, but I tend to be fleshly and say, hey, stay away from me. I don't like being around negative people. I have enough negative people in my life. Listen, I like Pastor's message years ago. I still remember it. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's the power of proper thinking. Listen, think on the Word of God. That's proper. God's in control and will take care of us. Don't be so negative. Worry about everything. I know people like that. Not necessarily here in the church. I'm not getting on any of you. Behavioral symptoms, changes in appetite, either not eating or eating too much, procrastinating, avoiding responsibilities, increased use of alcohol, drugs, cigarettes. I knew a man I worked with. He had quit smoking for a year. I felt he had it licked. Problems came in his life. He wasn't a Christian. What do you think he went back to just like that? Smoking. Exhibiting more nervous behavior such as nail biting, fidgeting, and pacing. Anyway, there's just some of the things. Listen, worry will trouble you. It's bad for you. God doesn't want you to worry. God wants us to take care of this temple, doesn't he? And when we're worried, it's going to trouble us, not only spiritually, but physically. Now, the last thing, and then I need to be done. Worry solves nothing. Worry never solves our fears or trials. Notice I didn't say problems, because with God there are no problems, only solutions. God doesn't have any problems that he can't handle. Here's what we are to do. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom. By the way, a lot of times we get to that area in our life. Remember, this is in the context of trials. He says, if any of you lack wisdom. Okay, Lord, what do I do now? Seemingly, I have a problem here. So, Lord, give me wisdom. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust you, but I need wisdom as to what to do. And by the way, don't we have those situations, Pastor? You know, a lot of that can come up. There can be difficulties in our life, and we might say, well, I'm just going to worry about it. You know, I'm going to pray about it and ask the Lord to give me wisdom to see me through this, because he's going to lead me. Remember, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy path. And so he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Is that a promise? It is, but now what's the next thing? Let him ask in faith. Don't waver. In other words, don't be divided. Is he not? No. Let him ask in faith. God will help you. But if we waver, we're like that wave of the sea driven back and forth. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Again, that's that divided mind. That's what that care, that anxiousness does. You just need to trust the Lord. Genesis 18:14, if anything too hard for the Lord, this was an answer to Abraham when Sarah laughed at bearing a son in her old age. And then Luke 1:37, that's also talking about Elizabeth and Mary there. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Remember, Elizabeth was past childbearing age too. Nothing is too hard for God. It's a rhetorical question. Is there anything too hard for God? You answer that. There isn't. God doesn't have any problems. God only has solutions, and we need to go to him for those things. Romans 4:19-21, and being not weak in faith, he's talking about Abraham, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. By the way, faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. And if we have faith, it does please God. It says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Listen, God has promised us a lot of great things. Are we fully persuaded he's able to perform exactly what he said? I'm persuaded of that. I am persuaded that God is able to do it. Worry never helps, and it never accomplishes anything. It only makes your situation worse. Worry is useless, unprofitable, and does absolutely no good. In fact, it just harms you. And I'm out of time, so I'm going to stop there. But I had a couple more pages of things. Let me just give you this. We got the comfort of the Scriptures. We got the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And we got the comfort of the saints. I might develop a message on that someday. But listen, we have the comfort from God's Word. We have the Holy Spirit, a comforter that lives within us. And then we have brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's a verse, I don't have it right now, but wherewith we've been comforted, we can comfort others also. Listen, we need to comfort one another. These are maybe difficult days, but we've seen difficult days in the past. We see them in the Bible, and God is still on the throne. Don't worry. It's disobedience. It's a lack of faith. It doesn't do any good. It only harms you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Help us to have full faith and confidence in you. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for who you are and what you've done. We know the answer to that question. Is there anything too hard for God? There certainly isn't. So we love you and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.